listening to Zeroes on Heroes with Mike Mercadal and Will Watkins. Hello, everybody. Welcome, heroes. Welcome to Zeroes on Heroes, just trying to look like you. My name is Mike Mercadal. With me, as always, is...
Will Watkins.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Sunday morning Pacific time, but Sunday afternoon Eastern time, because we are, in fact, bi-coastal. We span the United States, Will. We span the continent.
We are bi-coastal. We have sex with anybody on either coast.
That is what that means. We don't discriminate here. We try not to. That's kind of our thing. This is just trying to look like you, where we do not discriminate in people, anyone wanting to improve their lives, mind, body, and community.
Unless you do CrossFit, go fuck yourself. Just kidding. You know CrossFit's fine.
It's not fine. It's not fine. Let's not. Come on. It's not that it's not fine. It's we do not turn away that we love the sin or hate the sin. You know that bullshit. No, we are trying to.
It's like if you want to stay up till midnight to listen to the new Taylor Swift album, you know, I think it's ridiculous, but it's your thing. Have fun with it. You know. Just it brings you joy.
Just because it's not my thing doesn't mean it can't be your thing. Everybody's got their things. We do not judge. We're bringing some positivity into the self-improvement /health/fitness space. If you are watching us for the first time, welcome. Thank you. You can go back and find us at Mike Mercadal and at William A. Watkins on all social media, at Zeroes on Heroes. Is the social media for the show, and it will be expanding as people join us, because we're going to keep doing this whether you like it or not. I know that sounds like a threat, but it's more like we are motivated to do this for ourselves.
Yeah. You can watch it later, but if you want to participate,
you got to do it. You got to do it now. You got to stay tuned for when we go live and join us in the chat. We welcome any questions, comments, sharing, concerns, everything, as long as you're bring your A game. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Bring your best.
I'm out.
Well, are you struggling to bring your best today? Is that something that's not gonna be possible? How are you feeling today?
I'm a little lethargic. I'm a little sleepy, but that's me. Preaching to the choir here, not to compare trauma or anything, but I know you got you're a little fatigued as well.
I am a night shift employee at the hospital in which I work, and I worked last night / this morning when I got home. And it's one of those things where I don't know if I've ever been able to pull it off, or I'm just muscling through and like that, I just need a couple hours sleep and then I can go about my day. I don't know if we've talked on here in previous episodes about how vital and like delicious sleep is, and especially when it's like a hot commodity. You know, there's nothing more torturous than when there's some external reason why you can't sleep, like construction or a crying baby or a barking dog or whatever, and you're desperate just to get some sleep. But I'm doing that electively.
Yeah.
And I wonder, there's study after study that says it's bad for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it lowers your, it takes like 3 years off your lifespan if you work nights or whatever it is. And
are off the end, and those suck anyway.
There was also the study where it was the recent one where it was about like artificial sweeteners. And how it's a carcinogen or whatever, but it's like it's at the same threat level. It's actually below the threat level of not getting enough sleep. Like if you where it's like apples not getting enough sleep and charred meat, and then below that is sugar-free beverages. But meat like
for sweet.
But like not getting enough sleep is
up there. Yeah,
is now, up there.
I will say this. I do feel like I get enough. According to my watch or any other fitness tracker, I'm meeting my goals like 90% of the time, which before I took sleep seriously with my night shift job, I was not doing. I was going to sleep later, waking up earlier, like, you know, trying to force naps in the middle of the day because I was working at I used to work, you know, 7 a.m. shift, classic hospital schedule. You know, you wake up early, but that alarm clock, that falling asleep early is like the hard part.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when they tell you, oh, you just got to get more sleep. And then you're laying in bed at 8 o'clock at night. Like, any minute now, I'm going to do the thing that I need to be doing. I'm going to get the sleep that I need, you know, and the only real way to get more sleep is to be tired when it's time to go to bed. I don't know if that makes sense, or at least that's how it makes sense to me.
There's a thing that people suggest, various fitness influencers and doctors and stuff, which is if you know you need to get a lot of sleep that night or go to sleep early, whatever it is, is to just completely demolish yourself as early in the day as possible.
Right.
So it's like, wake up, go to the gym, do a leg day, like completely fatigue your system, burn out your CNS so that like by the time it's time you want to go to sleep, you're like, I'm done.
It's basically that like you know how they go, your parents were horribly toxic and they'd be like, I'll give you something to cry about.
yeah.
Right? Where it's like you gotta give your body something to sleep about. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna exhaust myself before, and then your body is like, please, I'll put you to sleep. Thank you. Yes, you've proven your point. Stop running up these hills, stop doing these push-ups, we'll be fine.
So a thing too, where it's like you know, it's always like, oh, take some Benadryl or some NyQuil and that'll help you go to sleep. Turns out the sleep you get is not a good sleep, where it's not as good a sleep as you could get. Yes. They say it's the equivalent of when you get really drunk and you pass out. That's not a good sleep you get. It's basically the same thing, where your body isn't like doing the true recuperation, rejuvenation it needs. But hey, you kind of go to sleep.
Yeah, you're unconscious. There's a quote that there's a quote that I reference all the time from Patton Oswalt, and it's not related, but it feels right. And that's what we are about here. We're all about vibes. We're all about, it feels right. Which we don't know exactly what we're talking about, but we have the best of intentions.
Yeah.
The quote comes from the Comedians of Comedy, the show that was on Comedy Central. Yeah. It was like him and like a couple other people were touring and like real nuts and bolts comedy tour stuff. And it was like a documentary series about them. And then he talks about sleeping in hotels as sleep, but being deprived of all of its nutrition. And since I have learned how bad Benadryl actually is for you, that's what I reference all the time, where it's like, Benadryl is a very old drug. It has a lot of side effects. And there are, you talk to any allergist out there, there's better drugs out there for both the sleepiness and the intended use of the drug, which is an antihistamine. It's like an old drug. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. It's not necessary. It has more of an impact than you realize. But it's the sleep you get is sleep deprived of its nutrition. Like, you don't fully get the rebuilding. You don't, your brain isn't really resting. It's just like, it's like the cartoons getting hit over the head with a hammer. You know what I mean? Like, that's literally what it does to your body, where it's like, shut it down. You know, someone pulls a switch, but you're not actually like resting.
You're a medical person, so I think you may have some basic. No,
in the loosest of terms.
I was recently watching Fallout. You watched that too, right?
It's on my to watch list. But okay. I'm not
This isn't going to spoil anything. And it kind of goes along with the larger theme of sci-fi, aliens, anything like that.
Sure.
When you go to those cryogenic tubes in those sci-fi movies and they sleep for 200 years or whatever it is that good sleep? And is there any sort of similar technology where I could like go to some like cryogenic place and just be like, just give me like 12 hours. I just want like 12 hours in a cryogenic tube.
Okay. The closest we got to it, killed Michael Jackson. That. So I need you. I understand the impulse, but we're at Michael Jackson levels of affecting your life, where you hire a doctor to give you medication that isn't prescribed for what it to do something it's not prescribed to do. But they have, like, when we intubate people or whatever, we give, and they're awake, we give paralytics and something to anesthesia. In the reverse order, you give anesthesia first, because if you give a paralytic first, you're fully conscious but paralyzed. It's kind of nightmare inducing. It's also like nightmare inducing what happens when your body actually sleeps, of like it's a hormone, I think, or there's the body releases a chemical that paralyzes you, because otherwise you'd be acting out your dreams in your sleep. So that's what night terrors is, and like sleep paralysis and all those things, is that your brain turns on before all of that has worn off. So you're kind of stuck in this like limbo of like, I'm awake, but my body is paralyzed. And it's kind of you're constantly balancing those two states. So if you were to go to a doctor and be like, I have trouble sleeping, they kind of are limited in the options. Like, people forget how young medicine is. Like, we only recently discovered anesthesia to knock you out during surgery, let alone like recreational sleep. So
I love those old, like Little House in the Prairie things, when they need to get the tonsils out and they're like, oh, I'll just have to put you under. And they get like ether and a rag. Like, there's some sort of like,
yeah. I'm trying to look up the discovery of anesthesia. Oh, it was successfully, for the first time, it was successfully done in 1846. Okay. So when you think about how old humanity is versus the practice of modern medicine, they were still doing humors then. They were you know, still using leeches. Like, we just discovered how to make like legit medicine. Like, aspirin is fairly young, like in the grand scheme of things. So when we're talking about like how we interact with the chemicals in your body, we're still kind of on a humanity scale at the experimental stages. We look at stuff from like 50 years ago now and be like, ugh, or like 100 years ago, like as like archaic. But in 100 years from now, people are going to look at the stuff we do and be like, ugh, you used needles to puncture the skin. What are you, savages? Yeah. You know, like, it'll be something like that. It'll be, you know, so we're still babies. We're still medicinal babies, you know?
Was that like Back to the Future when he's like, you got to use your hands to play? Like, oh,
it's a baby's toy. But yeah, that's how it feels.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you would just shoot radiation to somebody to see their bones? Why didn't you use a adamantium device or whatever? Yes.
Yeah, why didn't you use this thing? And it's amazing how short people's memories are, because if you talk to it's amazing how little the common person knows about how medicine and the medical system and the use and how medication interacts with your body, like how the body works. Like, people, it's amazing how limited that knowledge is, because look at how we talk about fitness, where we're like, what's the right thing to do for building muscle, literally building strength in your muscles, which we have been doing since there have been muscles, right? Everybody's does it. Like, every species, like, there's a certain amount of strength required, and the stronger you get, the more successful at evolution you've been. You're the product. What's that thing? You're the product of like billions of years of evolution. So like, act like it or something like that.
Yeah.
Like this motivational thing. It's crazy how little we as humanity know about our own human bodies. There's so many mysteries.
It's like, up until like the 1950s or whatever it was, like, if you want to do a squat, the way they did it was they had those like, where it was like a pole with like the balls at the end of it.
Yes. Those old timey weights.
And if you wanted to, you had to lift up one side, turn your entire body sideways, and then do this to get it up there. And then, like, sometime in the 1960s or whatever, somebody was like, hey, do you think it might be easier if we had some sort of rack that we could just hold it there? And so that way we don't have to destroy our spine.
That to me is, like, I think about it, like, people, like, historical figures, like, you talk, they always talk about, like, George Washington's wooden teeth or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like, it was like a nightmarish amalgamation, like a construct of like wood and other people's teeth and horse teeth and like other materials. And then people just put, you know, like, what were the medical conditions of like past historical figures? Where I loved this show called The Last Kingdom, and it was all about did you watch that show? And it was, and the King Alfred, which is like one of the like first kings of Wessex and these old places in history, had what they would now consider Crohn's disease, right? So like they were always talked about how sickly he was and frail, and he was very particular about what he ate, and it was like a curse from the Lord because of his mighty brain or whatever, you know, some bullshit. And then you're like, he just had Crohn's disease, like he just had diverticulitis or some other like ulcerative colitis, and then like some other digestive disorder, which now you would treat with a medication or some sort of steroid or anti-inflammatory. And back then it was like cursed from the heavens. You know? It's crazy what like everything still feels like so new on us, like medically, on like a human scale, like on a historical scale. It's kind of weird to think about that.
Even like supplements, that's one of the reasons why supplement industry is like so filled with like snake oil and shit. Mm. But like one of the most widely used supplements now, one of the most researched supplements is creatine monohydrate.
Yeah.
And it's research is only like 20 years old, if maybe a few years older than that. And it's great. It's great for your body. But the very first few studies were like, oh, if you take it, it's going to destroy your liver, and it's going to make you go bald and all this like fear mongering and stuff. And then it turns out that was nothing. It was just randomness from random studies on rats and rugby players that were also taking steroids and shit. And it's like, once everybody realized it was safe, then they were like, and it's actually a very cheap supplement. We can get a ton of it for very little money. Then this supplement industry was like, well, what if we designed a different kind of creatine that was more expensive and higher? And turns out they couldn't replicate it. The monohydrate is perfectly as good, if not better, than the more expensive kind. But it's, you know, it's like that ignorance, and you can turn it into either fear or profits, depending on what your motivation is.
You want to know the most frustrating thing about that? That's literally how the pharmaceutical companies work. A lot of the new drugs, I catch myself. This is the I'm old man on cloud kind of situation. Old man yells at cloud. The idea that pharmaceutical companies, when I'm watching the commercials now, it feels like a movie or like a Saturday Night Live commercial for a drug that is like fake. Because I remember the names from when I was younger, watching these things where it's like when the new drugs, when they were making fun of like Olestra. Remember when Olestra came out?
Oh, yeah.
And it may cause anal leakage and all the side effects. And now the fact that in this country you can advertise pharmaceutical, you know, like a prescription medicine to people who can't technically prescribe it is wild. And then there's the list. There's that joke, you know, like the of all the side effects, like a do not taunt happy fun ball. There's all of those things where it's almost like comedic at this point, because when I'm watching it now, I'm like, is this fake? Like, how are the, and then you look into it a little bit and you realize a lot of these are based on the fact that copyrights and patents for the names of things are separate from the medicine. And like, there's brand names and then generic names. And then there's certain laws that regulate how long a company can have be the only one that access the I have access to the drugs. Cause it's like, how do you copyright a chemical? They do, and there's laws about it, and there's capitalism behind it, and there's fucking profit generation, and then the cycle for the FDA is about every 10 years. So every 10 years there's just happens to be a new version of a drug where it's like, and granted they're better, you know, they do come out and the research says they're better, but then it's like it does, like that's where you get a little, I get a little conspiracy theorist, not like these crunchy hippies that are like super, you know, what do you call it,
like anti-vax, all that shit.
But yeah, like the ones that are like the, did you see that?
Oh, the pharmaceutical industry is coming after us.
It's like, yes, but not in the way that you're saying.
Yeah. You know,
like you're right. It's like, oh, you're right in a few ways. But in order to dissect the nuance, I have to dive into that cesspool. And I don't want to do that. You know, like it's almost worth it to be like, okay, you know, you're not harming anyone until all of a sudden you have a following of a billion people and now everyone's,
yeah,
you know, do it. I saw a video of like the 90s kids, their parents grew up like kind of traumatized by certain diets.
Oh yeah. And yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, did you see it?
Yeah, like, I shared it. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it was like, and one of them is the cabbage soup diet and like Weight Watchers and all these things, the cayenne pepper and lemon drink that people were constantly putting, making these juices and all stuff. And
the apple cider vinegar diet.
And like, yes, the cabbage soup is fine. Or the Special K diet was the one that I like forgotten about. But someone reminded me of like at a certain point, they were advertising, you just need a bowl of cereal for your meals.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, that's the cereal industry telling me to do that. You know,
I think my favorite might've been the Subway diet. Where it's like, eat this foot long loaf of bread every meal and you'll lose weight. Oh, yeah. And you'll also go to jail for pedophilia.
Yeah, they're not. Is it correlation is not
causation. Causation. Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever it is that however the saying goes, where it's like, we're not saying it's going to happen. We're just saying it's related. It exists in the same spectrum of possibility. Yeah, there's so much out there when it comes to like, just look at the Benadryl thing, like, Claritin and Zyrtec and all the other antihistamines that are out there that are newer cost more in the store. Like if you look, they cost more. So it's like, it's tricky, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's that thing where you go to like a Sam's Club and you get like generic Zyrtec and it's like a tenth of the price.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, man.
I am one of those people. I will say this as a medical professional, like the medicine that we give on the ambulance is the generic. Like there's no difference chemically. So if there's anybody ever tells you that, oh, I'm allergic to the generic or something like that, take it with a grain of salt, you know, like, don't, you know, hey, to each their own. If you, that's why it bothers me when insurance companies will say that they only cover certain brands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's just a deal you made with the pharmaceutical company to make more money on charge more for something. You know, like it's just, it is what it is. And then we're all at the mercy of it. And then insert anti-capitalist rant here. Right. Like it's basically like at the point where like, we all get it. We all profit generation and all that stuff. But I don't want to dive into that too much because it really does affect me mentally to be like, to have all that drilled into my brain as I when I'm browsing through social media, I have to actively make choices to like stop being mad at capitalism.
Yeah. I have to go to sleep at 6 p.m. I can't be throwing bricks right now.
Yeah. I'm just so tired. Going back to the getting sleep thing. I'm at the, what we were talking about last week, a couple weeks ago, the listen to my body stage of sleep.
Yeah.
Because I do have to shift from night shift mode to day shift mode at some point. It's like jet lag. At some point you have to like just buy into the hours in which you have to operate to be able to like move my sleep from this chunk to this chunk and just mess with my circadian rhythm for a day. So it's easier for you to pull off the bandaid. I have coworkers that they exist entirely in the vampire mode.
Yeah.
That they're like, it works for me. You know, I just stay up all night. And I'm like, I don't know if I could. Also, there's somebody else who lives in my house on a completely different schedule than me at those moments. So like, I just have to, I feel like it would, it's, it feels like I got to get back on the right on my home shift, like the home mode, and then like work mode, like my iPhone that has focus modes, you know, like that's how I treat this sort of thing.
Yeah. I got a couple guys I work with work insane schedules where they'll work like overnights, two shifts, and then like mornings, two shifts, and then afternoon, one shift. And it's like, Jesus Christ, dude, like what the, and they're like, oh no, I'm used to it by now. It's like, no, you're not. This is like the frog doesn't jump out of the boiling water because it's like slowly boiling. It's like, ah, I'm fine. Oh, it's like those dark circles under your eyes. Do not say that.
I do understand their mindset, though, but it's almost like we're also not meant to work 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, and we push past those limits, too. You know what I mean? Like I also wasn't supposed to wake up at 5 o'clock every morning to go to work from, you know what I mean? You're supposed to like we're all like modern life requires a little bit of concession to sleep, which is why we're all so fucking tired all the time.
Yeah. Isn't the thing like study after study says that people under the age of 18 or whatever do their best work from noon till 7 or whatever it is. But for some reason we always make school start at 7 a.m.
Yes.
But it's like, if you just put school back 5 more hours, you'll have better students who are learning better. Their minds will be focused. But instead, they're going to have all their focus on, you know, afternoon cartoons or their football team or whatever it is.
Well, athletics are more important than academics. That's just that's what I was taught. And that's what I'm going to teach my kids.
Oh, man. Great.
Perpetuating the cycle, blah, blah, blah.
Great analogy from my life is my senior year. They fired our drama teacher in high school, and then they kicked us all out of the drama room, and we had to combine with the chorus room. And then they turned the drama room into a new weight room that they gave to the football players, and it was
nice. I as a football player, good. We don't need those arts. Get the hell out of here with that bullshit. It's kind of crazy. Like, we do harp on it a lot, but it is kind of crazy how much I want to say high school. Let me back up here. Let me gather my brain here for a second, because it is not just about like academics or athletics or whatever. It's amazing how many people never leave high school.
Yeah.
And then you look at Congress and you're like, oh, that's basically what you're just watching. Whenever anybody is like a piece of shit or having trouble, like, well, there's something that doesn't make sense. It's like, oh, the people who are making these choices never left high school. Mm-hmm. They never stopped the social dynamics that you learn in high school, the cliques, the external validation, the deferring to authority, even without. Like when they don't deserve it, like you never questioning authority is what I'm saying. They're deferring to a time when, like, if I think about the times I've embarrassed about things that I did, like a thought processes that I still have that I've carried over from high school trauma. And and I think about it, like I'm letting teenage me dictate adult me's actions. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Who the fuck would listen to a teenager as an, like, you know what I mean? Like, would you listen to a 17-year-old or 16-year-old now to guide your entire life? Of course not. So why are you letting a 16-year-old you who learned the behaviors in high school carry on into your adult life? Like it's like a thing every time I mention, I'm like, oh, this is teen me trying to make decisions for adult me. We were talking about this. We discuss what we want to talk about on the show briefly. Like, we have this kind of note that we share and we put stuff in there. And there was a thing that I saw that a post where it was one of these videos about like some girl was like, my husband's 39 and I just got back from the store with dino nuggets or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone's response was like, I experienced the joy of like, and then he said a thing of like, men don't grow up, they grow older. Yeah. I don't know what the word play I would use. I don't know what the word play I would use, but I don't think that, I think it's more grown up to continue to experience joy than to adhere to something you did as a teenager, the illusion of what you thought grown-ups were. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's the thing of, I hate ties, like neckties, because it serves no purpose. It originally started when people had cloaks and they needed to tie their cloak and their blouse or whatever it is together. It serves no purpose as a piece of your clothing. And so it's the same thing of like, what's the difference between regular shaped nuggets and dino nuggets? It's the same exact chicken mush that's formed into a shape. It's just that this shape is oblong versus this one looks like a Tyrannosaurus. The same thing.
Except it's fun. That's the thing, is that at a certain point, and this is where you start to like get into like the boomer culture of it all, where it's like, at some point, like, I'm married, I love my wife, and you go back a few generations and every joke, every experience about married life was that I hate my wife. And I'm like, why? What is marriage then to you? Like, why is there a whole generation of people that think that marriage or relationships is all about like being like surveilled, like there being someone like fucking a cop is watching you in your house and you're not allowed to have any fun? That's what a whole generation of comedy was about. Like, my wife sucks. And I'm like, that has informed a lot of people that it's like a weird thing for people to be like, my wife and I, we went to a wedding. Our friends got married in Mexico. We had to give a little speech. And a big part of the speech was like, marriage is not hard. That's a myth. Like, if you're meant to be together, the shit's kind of easy. You know what I mean? There's just someone in your house all that loves you. And the hardest part is like trying to figure out what to eat. Like, the marriage part should not be that difficult when you really care about it. The problem is, I think that all of this old thinking tricked everyone into thinking adult life was supposed to be a job you hate and a wife you tolerate who tolerates you. So you could have kids that you take on vacation 2 weeks a year, and the rest of the other 50 weeks a year, you're just pissed off all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, so you could go play golf on the weekends and get away from your wife. Like, how about the other days of the week? You know, like, it doesn't make sense. You're living for the minimum as opposed to the majority, you know?
Yeah. I remember when I got married, every guy over the age of 50 was like, I mean, one even handed me a cup that was like, happy wife, happy life. Just say yes. Just say I do or whatever it is. And it's like, what fucking life did you live?
Hey, it's like, are you all right? You know, like, and like the advice you get, it's like, welcome to married life. Now you can't do this, that, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, first, like you can't, the first one was always funny to me because of the bachelor party.
Yeah.
That idea of a bachelor party feels so antiquated to me and kind of gross. I'm just like, I don't want this. I don't know who, like, I don't know how your relationship is that the last thing you want to do as a single, you're not even single, you're just not married yet, is to go be this degenerate. Is that like a goal for you to just go cheat on your wife in some form? On the spectrum of cheating, you're on there at least. If it's something your wife would disapprove of, or you have to keep a secret, it's like, what kind of weird blackmail initiation do other married guys put it for? You know, like, what a dumb thing. I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, at what point were you trained that adult life is supposed to be sad, you know, and boring and not have some kind of whimsy in it, you know, like not have any fun.
I do think there might be some sort of correlation with, you know, my wife won't stop nagging me, you know, from the 1960s or 70s or 80s, whatever it is. But it's like, is she asking for rights? Is that what she's nagging you about?
She's nagging you about, yeah. Is she
wants to vote.
This equality, this rearing its ugly head again. What a weird request for her to be.
She wants her own credit card. She wants her own bank account. I give her $50 a week to go to the grocery store, and she wants more to get her hair done.
It's kind of like, whenever somebody like all of this trad wife, all of these alpha males, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, oh, you're that weak of a commodity that you have to take away the freedom of choice from the people that you're trying to trick into dating you, like getting into relationship. And, you know, there's always some, like, if you start venturing into those creepy incel-y areas of the internet, which pop up on social media because for some reason that is what the algorithm feeds men.
Yeah.
Is it's so gross. Like, I hope we get fed to people who want to see us and like get something good out of this, because you get fed so many of these like Jordan Petersons, these Andrew Tates, these guys where it's like, if you take a second to scratch at it, it's just smacks, just reeks of this like insecurity, this like self like hate to love, like you invalidate yourself. And like, if you have to, it's that whole thing of like in athletics, like if you have to tell someone you're the GOAT, you're not the GOAT. The world decides who's good at things based on performance and like how you present yourself, not the other way around. You know? Yeah. That's the part. All these guys want a participation trophy for being born in like as a cishet male. The participation trophy of like, what, we should be able to have sex. It's like, I don't think you understand how modernity works, where you have to earn that sort of thing. Birds have to have really nice feathers and do dances and build nests, and all you saying you were born with that privilege, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You're better than a bird? I think not.
I'll shit on you. How about that? Yeah. One of my favorite things about those guys is, because I get it all the time, because I look at all the fitness videos and the blah, blah, blah. Then next thing you know, it's the Jordan Peterson and blah, blah, blah. But so I love the fitness bros who are self-proclaimed alpha males. Mm. But then they, you know, I'm built different. I was born a beast. And then they also talk about how they're taking testosterone replacement therapy at the age of 25. And it's like, you are literally saying you need gender affirming care because you're not producing enough male hormone. Yeah. You are admitting you're not an alpha male naturally. You have to take these extra steps to be the beast or whatever it is you want to be. It's like, I don't know, man. I think women should have the right to vote and dye their hair whatever color they want, and my dick works fine. So
that's so funny that you're just like, I don't know the people who I think of like as alpha males and all that stuff. I don't think of that, and the people who like think of as strong, we'll say, people who I think of like as powerful are usually like the nicest people. Like, they're usually kind, they usually build the community around them, like that, like they're not afraid to ask for help, because how much, like, one person can only be as strong as one person can be. But if you get a group, you know, it still takes two people to move a piano. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's just like such a weird fixation that these guys have on the internet, where it's like, hey, do you know that we don't see you as you want to be seen because of you, not because of the society, because you are presenting something that is so easy to see through. You know, so
my favorite thing about that example of this is when there was this photo going around of this huge, muscly, jacked bodybuilder, and it was like, if this guy slaps your girl, if this guy slaps your mom, what are you doing? And then the actual guy who's in the photo found the meme, and it was like, hi, I'm the guy in this photo. I love my mom, and I would never disrespect your mom. And it's like, yeah, it's the thing of like a reason why so many people are are scared to go to the gym is because they're like, there's going to be all these muscly guys in there who are going to fight my mom and, you know, make fun of me if I'm not doing the form right, blah, blah, blah. But that's like all those wannabe alpha males, the Ben Shapiros who whine constantly, those guys. Like, but in real life, if you go to the gym, it's so supportive.
Where it really is. Like, it really is just trying to look like you. Everybody's like, really? I saw a video of this, you know, a girl was filming herself doing some sort of a power, like a bench workout. And some guy, like, you could see he was like, he was looking. And then people in the comments, you could see people who didn't watch the video all the way because they start shitting on the guy. Oh, look how he's creepy. He's looking. She fails. She can't get the lift. And he immediately jumps up and he picks up and he spots her. And he's like vigilant to help, like clearly seeing, you know, like, and then it turns out that they knew each other and they're like friends or whatever. But like the whole point is that people make the assumption. It's usually the people outside of the circle talking the most shit and misrepresenting what happens inside. Like the dudes who are alpha males are not in circles where they are respected because they feel like they constantly have to fight for it. It's like, hey, maybe you should change the circle of people you have around you if you're constantly fighting to survive. You know, better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. It's like, hey, are you in a garden? Do you think of yourself as in a war? You know, like we are all equal in that we are all cannon fodder for the, you know, like we are all just one draft away from being the same boot camp private. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we are all in the same boat, you know, so relax. You're not in a war. You're just at Whole Foods. You know what I mean? Like you're not who in the situation you think you are.
That's and another that, thing too, is when there's a large group or a group of dudes who all claim to be alpha males, it's like, you don't understand the concept of an alpha male because that means only one of you in that group can be an alpha male, yet you're all proclaiming to be, you know, there can only be one. So choose which one you all want to bow down to. If that's your philosophy and theory, choose your alpha male and your friend group, because everybody else knows that's bullshit. And we're all just there to help each other because that's how society progresses. There can be no roads if the doctors don't help the people who make the roads, and the doctors can't get to the hospital if the roads aren't built. We need to help each other. It doesn't matter your status or your in life. You need that community to build each other up.
It's wild to me how the libertarian mind works and how it permeates into like other aspects of culture. Because I guarantee you, if you ask those people about paying their taxes, they'll be like, taxation is theft. And you're like, oh, okay, I see what it is. You are selfish. You are you are narcissistic. You are, you know, I struggle, you know, I'm going to try to not use like diagnostic, like DSM diagnoses to talk about just people who are assholes and are selfish, because narcissism is a very specific set of behaviors.
Yeah, traits.
But they are assholes. You could just say that you do not care about the people around you, nor can you pretend to be the one. Like, why would we turn to you in a time of struggle if you've proven that you only care about yourself in times of peace? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, forget about it. So I think, like, as you're talking about the alpha male, why is there not some sort of UFC type tournament where it's literally called Alpha Male? And it's like, hey, if you guys really want to find out who and if you are the winner, then you can refer to yourself as the Alpha Male. I'm happy not to take the title. But if you're so strong, if you feel so strongly about being an Alpha Male, let's find out who the true alpha male is. Like, on pay-per-view Sunday, we will find out who the alpha male is. And then just have these weak YouTube, you know, keyboard warriors, these guys who set up fake podcast mics in front of them so that they can talk like they're some sense of authority. Put them in front of people. Like, years ago, there was a whole like internet thing where that guy Uwe Boll, who made all those shitty video game movies.
Oh yeah.
Challenged.
He fought his hecklers or whatever
online critics. He challenged them to a boxing match. I get it. It's dumb and like, you know, to promote it as like a physical violence thing. And, you know, but the capitalist world would eat this shit up. I'm saying, like, how do we make a little scratch off of this stuff? You know, we could get all these dorks to like compete, like have alpha male Olympics. And it's like you. It's like, all right, you're the alpha male of you know, podcast lighting.
Yeah.
Because I know you thought about it. I know you thought about which angle is better for you. I know you thought about where to set up your Elgato Stream Deck. I know you thought about all these YouTube things. So it's like, let's not pretend that you are. Like, it's like the Oscars, you know? We'll have it be like the Alpha Male Awards. And everyone comes up and gives the same speech where they're like, I thank nobody but myself.
You know? Oh, that'd be great. So just have an award show of the best alpha male in a certain category. And then at the end, they would all die because they were asphyxiated by the Axe body spray. There was just too much chemical in the air.
There's just like a line of like federal agents outside just enforcing warrants and shit that they all have, because you know they're all fucking creeps. They all have some bullshit that they're doing. It's like, oh, you sell illegal steroids? That's arrest you, arrest you, arrest you. Oh, you traffic women? Arrest you, arrest you. Oh, you've sexually assaulted people? Arrest. Yeah, you know, like that's all just, it's almost like a sting at that point. Like when they tell a bunch of criminals that they've won a boat. Have you ever seen those videos where they show up a conference and it's like, you've won a sweepstakes? And then they get there and it's like, psych, you're arrested. I hope we don't come off as like genuinely vindictive, like this is all for jokes and stuff like that, because I do wish that I struggle to think about how sad that kind of existence is. And like that amount of mental energy spent deluding on yourself, you know, it's frustrating. It goes along, I don't know,
with the idea of because we're shit talking right now. We say it's a fun, positive podcast. But I think this is one of those examples of the you can't tolerate intolerance, where it's like it's very much similar to sometimes I'll use the patriarchy to destroy the patriarchy, or I'll use like misogynistic terms to get the point across, because you know a lot of people, oh, he's a liberal, whatever it is, a little weak ass liberal. And I remember one time this guy, speaking of Ben Shapiro, he suggested I watch the Ben Shapiro show on YouTube. He was like, hey man, you ever listen to Ben Shapiro? And instead of just going off about all the things that are legitimately wrong with him, I knew that wouldn't work because it's a stonewall. So I just said, nah, I don't like that guy. He's such a whiny cunt. And it like took the wind out of his sails, where it was like whatever argument he would have had against me is gone.
Yes.
Because it's like, oh, you're a PC baby, whatever it is. But it's like, he's always complaining about something. It's just, oh, why is he always bitching and moaning? He's got some sort of thing he's trying to cancel or whatever it is. And that's all valid and true. And it's like, kryptonite. what are you going to say back? You can't say anything back. It's all true. And I'm using language that they understand.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's like, you know, the whole concept of like, is it, do you take the high road or do you take the low road? I think you've removing yourself from the equation using their terminology. It's also like, you're basically saying, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth arguing.
Yeah.
And that's got to feel worse to them in some way. But I also like, like they say, you shouldn't, you know, don't punch Nazis. I'm like, no, punch a Nazi.
Good.
Please punch Nazis. If someone is openly and like, you know, attesting violence and all kinds of horrible shit, you know, like you're right to not treat them reasonably. You know, like there's a certain amount of positivity that comes from disengaging and being like, I don't want to engage. But if you're being bombarded with something and you and it's if someone's in threatening violence, there's a certain amount of like defense, self-defense that is required. And fighting evil is good. You know what I mean? Like, I never get like, if you don't think it's evil, you're part of the evil, you know, like that shit always gets me.
There's some like a hipster graffiti on a building near me, where it's all done pretty or whatever it is. And the graffiti has, love is never violence. And I don't know why I had this like visceral reaction in my brain that was like, killing Nazis in World War II was love for humanity. Like sometimes violence is the answer. Violence is love. If somebody threatens a loved one of mine, out of love for them, I will defend them. I will fight whoever it is. So if there's some guy who says we need to eliminate the Jews and they're marching down Main Street, by all means, violence can be love. Punch that dude in the face.
It's the perceived violence, because it's also like, you know, that person, it's so hard because we, like, society and like the American society of like everybody's out for themselves and nobody cares about anybody else has kind of created a world where people are okay with so many horrible things that not being okay with a horrible thing is almost like a form of protest. Like, it's like, hey, if you believe that you should let children starve, that's kind of evil. That's evil. That's bad. You're not as good as you protest to yourself as you attest to be. So it's like, how do you stay in, like, because I don't wish violence on anybody. I don't want there to be violence. I would love for there to be some sort of utopian idea where all of a sudden one day everyone realizes that borders are made up and we're on a thin layer of atmosphere that's like paper thin around a planet that we are slowly burning off and killing everything inside that little layer, because that's all we get. We only get that little layer. We don't get the whole planet. We get that thin little thing. That's all we get, is that thin little space. And, you know, I hope, like, if I could snap my fingers, it'd be all of a sudden one day, I don't even want the change to happen. My wish would be like, I want everyone to be fully aware of what's going on to fix it. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that humanity is divided based on purely like tribal, primitive kind of lizard brain shit, where it's like, it's kind of unintelligent. It's like dumb, like to have certain points of view where it's like, it's stupid. It's narrow focused. And it's only because you believe in some sort of magic that doesn't exist. You believe in some sort of unprovable kind of cultish thinking, some sort of magical thinking that takes you down this road of like, you know, I'm willing to burn up this thing so I can have more dollars. It's like, well, what's a dollar? Oh, a thing I made up in my mind. You know,
I have this buddy told me a story one time to show how ridiculous the idea of tribalism is. Is he said he was over in England, and he's an American dude. He's an American black guy, and he was over there. And there was a guy, was a tourist, also from America, was a white guy, and he had a Confederate flag hat. And he said the guy came up to him and started chatting with him and wouldn't leave. And he was like, oh, man, it's so good to just talk to another American here. He was willing to change his beliefs because he wanted familiarity and a tribalism with this other American. Even though if they were back in the States, he would never talk to this random black guy. He would never go up and say, hey, let me share a beer with you. Like, no, he was like, oh, there's too many English people over here. I need to talk to another American.
I can't. For me, the funniest thing about, like, every time someone gets really specific about something like that divides, oh, I don't like them because I'm a Miami Dolphins football fan. And I lived in New York City and I would wear Dolphins stuff. And I remember being on the subway and a guy was wearing a Denver Broncos jersey. Also, not the city in which we exist, right? Like, we are existing in a separate environment. And that guy starts trash talking to me. And meanwhile, at that time, both our teams were like the worst in the NFL. And I looked at him and I was like, Doug, the stakes could not be lower for whatever it is that you're arguing about. Like, but you're desperate for a us versus them energy. Like you're so desperate to have something to fight for that you're looking for something to fight against.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you mean? I have a cartoon dolphin on my shirt. That's a Brian Regan joke where he's like walking through the Dallas airport and he's like, oh, looks like we got a Dolphins fan here. He's like, oh, my kids gave it to me. And he's like, am I going to get into a fight because I'm wearing a t-shirt with a cartoon dolphin on it? it's like, this is dumb. And whenever I think about that, I always think about that joke of like, oh, is this your cartoon dolphin?
Yeah.
Is your cartoon dolphin Elon Musk's Tesla Cybertruck? Is that your thing? It's like, is that your cartoon dolphin? And, you know, on a big enough scale, you know, that's how entire governments are built. That's how entire economies are built, where it's like, oh, it's just cartoon dolphins all the way down.
Yeah, it's like the Jerry Seinfeld joke when he said he talks about how players in the in baseball get traded all the time.
Yeah,
and he's like, you're rooting for laundry. You could have one roster of entire human beings get traded and another roster come in, you're still going to root for that team. It's not that the people on the team that you were rooting for, it's the uniform they were wearing. You're rooting for laundry.
You're rooting for laundry. That's a great look. We talk about positivity on this podcast, and we've done a lot of venting today, which I to a certain extent is healthy, but I also don't want to fixate on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, I'm in therapy. I was talking to my therapist. My wife's in therapy. We're talking, we share notes, you know, like we talk about our, you know, what we talk about in therapy. I don't feel like it's shameful to discuss it. It's private. I never say that you should share any, but my wife was talking about some of the cognitive fallacies, or what is it called? The cognitive something. I forget the word, but it's like the mistakes in thinking that get you to reinforce bad habits instead of good ones. Mm-hmm. And one of them is rationalization. In no way am I rationalizing what we just talked about as positive for the world, but there's that momentary like peace you get venting about something, but I don't want to lean into the vent as the good thing. What I'm realizing now is that you can kind of take the vent we've just did today to help us process the internet a little bit more safely, a little bit more in a more healthy way. Cause I'm not like letting anger get to you is dangerous.
Yeah.
And you get people like the alpha males and the incels, and when you let anger be your filter. So I would love to pivot a little bit, because I'm sorry, we've kind of spent a lot of time venting about sort of these sort of things. There's enough of that in here, but how do we then take this energy of the discovery made that we're just rooting for laundry, or some people just really love cartoon dolphins? How do we move forward in the world taking that kind of that idea so that we don't engage in the vent? We don't, you know, like
I think the best
filter the anger.
The best way is I think is to show the larger community that we're a smaller community, where it's, you know, for instance, talk to that guy who was trying to get me to watch Ben Shapiro. And I, you know, explained to him, you know, he just whines all the time. Is there anything of substance that he's actually, is there any positivity that he's giving to the world other than just complaining? And then we can, you know, have more discussions about, you know, why it's okay. You know, then, you know, for instance, he was spouting anti-trans points. And sure. I said, you know, what do you like to do for fun? How do you want to live your life? Right. I see you have tattoos on your body. You have an ear piercing. Do you think that somebody should tell you what to do, how to decorate your body? Because that's what it is. That's what, you know, when you take all the flesh off of somebody and it's just their bones and their skeletal muscle, like that museum that has just the...
Yes, yeah.
And it's like... Is that person
scandal
black?
Noted? Because I remember going to see the bodies exhibit. I thought it was super fascinating. And then a bunch of stories came out about how he got bodies.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up, but you're 100% right in that at a certain point, we're all that. That's the thing, is that being a medical person, I fully understand what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
you
can't tell if that person was black. You can't tell if that person was white. You can't tell if that person was, trans or, you know, cisgender or whatever it was. And that goes along with another thing. I told him the story about, I think it was Miriam Margolyes. Do you know her, the actress? She was the older British lady. But she was in Australia talking to Aborigines who were the one spirit. I forgot what they call themselves, but they were born male, but they put themselves out as female. And some of them still had beards. And she said, you know, why don't you pluck, you know, I get beard hairs. Why don't you pluck those out? And they were like, it doesn't matter. This is all just decoration.
Right.
It's like, it doesn't matter what, you know, think of me as what's beneath this, you know, not to sound soul and spiritual or whatever it is, but the brain processes in a person are who they are. Yes. It doesn't matter what's on the skin, what kind of clothing you wear, whatever it is.
Yeah. As a secular person, I fully admit that science doesn't know where your consciousness comes from. Why is my meat different than your meat? right? Like the structures are all the same. It's just a big lump of cholesterol and lightning. That's all it is. It's literally just that. Our our meat is the same. Why does my meat think this way and identify as Mike Mercadal? And why is your meat think your way and identify as Will Watkins? We don't know. Again, we also, to circle back around, you know, have only had anesthesia for 150 years. So it's like, we will figure it out or not, or whatever it is. But the fact that my meat is different than yours is not in contention. We have different thinking. We have, you know, we have different consciousnesses. So whatever that is should be respected as like part of the person. Not, you know, it's like, oh, my consciousness identifies differently than the meat it is in. It's like, okay, I don't have an opinion on, why would I have, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, it should not factor into my value for you. That, remember, it goes back to that empathy versus sympathy. I don't have to put myself in your shoes to see a human being. You know, I assume everyone who I see walking around, that's a human being. You know what I mean? Like, that's a person. Like, it's hard, you know, whatever. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, to the point, to justify the venting is that, you know, a lot of it is a cite example. You know, I cited this example with this guy where it's like, you're allowed to air grievances, because if you don't air those grievances, it's going to build up inside of you and it's going to ferment. And you're eventually going to project what are valid feelings onto somebody who has nothing to do with the origin of those feelings. So it's good to vent, to get the words out, to clear your throat chakra, as they would say in yoga.
But every culture would have has a way of doing, even like the male cult, back in the day, what was it that they used to have those male retreats, and they would have the around the campfire and you have to hold the talking stick, that bullshit. Yeah. You remember that? Where every tribe has a version of airing of grievances. Every tribe has a festivus, and every tribe has an airing of grievances that you have to process, or you get like any authoritarian or kind of like fascistic structure that has one guy at the top and he's the only one that gets to talk will eventually be overthrown by the other people, where it's like, I need a way to talk, you know, like that there should be more than one person that gets to have their venting done.
I think that goes to the larger theme of community, in that you know, I think we talked about in one of the previous ones about the viral story about the guy who left a big city and went to Oklahoma to live with rural people because he was a self-proclaimed white supremacist. Then he got to this place where it was nothing but white people, and he was like, these are the most boring milquetoast people I've ever met in my life. I need to renounce white supremacy and go back and eat some food with a spice. Out of boredom.
Yeah.
Where it's that thing of like, oh yeah, if you're just so insular and you don't have anybody to inform your opinions who is of a different mind than you, and to have that pushback where they can vent to you, or have maybe even violent words to shock you up. I remember when I first started doing comedy the first year, I was dared by a group of fellow comics to go on stage, and we all decided we were going to use the N-word in our sets. And then afterwards, a person like lit into me, like completely, and like with very violent words. And it took that beating to be like, yeah, fuck, I'm not going to ever do that again. I needed somebody to whoop my ass. I mean, not to sound like a boomer, but like, you need to get your ass whooped from time to time.
There needs to be the correction. And this kind of to like bring it all full circle. Like there's a certain amount of, my wife just texted me while we were talking, cognitive distortions. Yeah. So it's called cognitive distortions. And one of the things that you have is that we have a lot of self-defense mechanisms that are built up over time that aren't healthy, that you don't know they're healthy until someone points it out to you. And that's kind of what that is, like a correction, where like the one that sticks in my head is the rationalization, because we talked about it, because you can just like, if you could be like, yeah, you know, I deserve this ice cream because I had a rough day, or I deserve this, whatever you know, I'm in a bad situation because of insert race or insert, you know, ethnic group. So I deserve to hate them. And you can rationalize all these things in your brain, and they are, it's distorting the reality. And and one of my problems with all of that stuff is it boils down to just a classic reality check. Who's checking you? Once you are aware of something, you're responsible for it. So if you catch yourself like me, where I find out that, oh, my weak spot in my diet is that I eat ice cream every night, it's like, oh, I have the awareness of it now, and it's now my responsibility. That reality check happened internally, where I'm like, oh, right, ice cream every day is gonna make me fat. I'm gonna get calorie. I'm gonna have too many calories. I'm gonna do it. But if I justify it in my mind, be like, I have a hard day. Well, you know what? Then you start looking for that hard day.
Yeah.
You start looking for the reason. You know, you start looking for the hate. You start looking for the justification of your bad habit. And that's where the reality check, the external reality check comes in, where it's like, hey, join me in the real world for a minute, where your justifications for your actions only matter on a fucked up spectrum. Like, you're not right. You're not part of the community. You're not part of society. You're not part of humanity when you choose to behave a certain way. And the big picture, which is kind of what, like, that self-actualization that we're all subconsciously chasing, that whole, you know, like, I feel fulfilled as a human being, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. But in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, there's physical safety, all these things that you have to get before you can get to self-actualization. And people are trying to shortcut by giving some sort of like, you know, cheat code to get to that by claiming, I'm an alpha male, I'm a white, my race is the best, all these things. And it's really just shortcuts to that self-actualization without doing all the steps you have to, like, be aware of and do self-introspection and work to get to, you know. Once you see it, it's hard to unsee it, because then you're like, ooh, that guy is, what a poor guy. You know, I wish he could not be this way because he is so insecure or so fearful of the world around him, or so afraid to abandon wrong thinking because he's been thinking it so long. He knows.
I think to take some more terminology from therapy, where it's people oftentimes will act in emotional mind and not the wise mind. You know, because you got the emotional mind, the rational mind, and in between is the wise mind. You know, this is the immediate reaction. This is the, you know, my wants and my needs, and then how can I achieve both? You know, sort of combination of both. And if it's the it's all this certain demographic is the problem, and it's like, well, what's the rationale? Is it actually because there are CEOs and corporate interests who are taking money away from your pocket and then blaming it on this group? Is it because
private equity has forced us all to have to reevaluate what a home means, and, you know, shit, like, of course that's going to have ripple effects in people's psyches and people's thought processes.
I feel as though a thing that would help a lot of people, and I think a lot of people should reach for this, is post-nut clarity. I feel like if anybody is about to burn a cross, like, tell them to rub one out. And then afterwards they'll be like, why am I wearing this ridiculous outfit?
Well, this is terrible. Yeah, I don't even
like it. Oh, my God.
I'm a summer. This is terrible.
It's 2 a.m. I got to go to work in 3 hours.
Oh, man. The idea of post-nut clarity is something, it's so true, but it's so, remember the lady in the 90s who was like the health person who was like, masturbation's fine. And everybody lost their fucking minds. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Ruth. Like,
no, it was a lady. Oh, God. She was like, the attorney, not the attorney general. What is the health official
in the White House?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where someone was like, is masturbation okay? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. It's a, you know, perfectly natural thing. And everybody lost their mind because it's like, no, nobody masturbates. Meanwhile, everyone is deluding themselves if they don't think of masturbation as like a natural thing. Like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's the start of all of our problems, is because nobody has the post-nut clarity.
Nobody. People, get out there for your own health, please, for the world. Please. Also, we've had enough people jerking off in front of other people to last a lifetime. Do it, you know, private, whatever gets you going. Nut first, think later.
Do you think it would be good legislation if we passed a law that said between the hours of, you know, between 2 and 2:30 every single day, like a siesta, like the Spanish do, but instead of napping, everybody has to rub one out?
How long before somebody capitalizes on it and starts has a business centered around jerk off stations or whatever? Like,
oh my god, it would be like at the airport. There's like the breastfeeding station, and then right next to it is the Wacka Hut.
The Wack. Oh, so great. But again, there's so much taboo around it. Like, it's hard to explain. What a interesting. I wish there was like an expert that we could talk to about post nut clarity and about what that does to you. Like, because there's certain times where you need an endorphin release, and I'm sure this is not a gender specific thing, where you master it just for medicinal reasons, where you're like, you know. But then the spectrum of addiction and the whole kind of concept of like, well, What are you rationalizing? We're like, I've had a hard day. I'm going to jerk off. And then all of a sudden you're on the subway in front of people. You're like, I've had a hard day.
You know, I got to get the evil out. Ah.
Which any New York resident will tell you happens. You just, it's something that happens in your day. Greatest city in the world. Look away. You know, that's one of my favorite New York stories of when I first moved to New York. Like, I was like a week in. I was like a baby New Yorker. I just moved there and I got onto a subway train. I was like, the doors open and you walk in, and you know how you, like, if you've lived in New York for any amount of time, you can, or you can feel when something has just happened, something, there's a vibe of something is either just happened or is happening. And you walk on the car, and I'm talking about the empty train car, the empty one. We all know smells like whatever, but the one where you walk in and everybody is like frozen and like not chilling. They're frozen in like pretending that something is not happening. And then I looked and I turned and I see in the corner this guy jerking off. And my first impulse was like, hey man, put that away. Because in the ER, that shit happens all the time, where you get people who come in and they're, you know, mentally unwell, and they have things, and there's a moment of privacy, and their first impulse to make themselves feel better is to jerk off, or for whatever reason they start, and you have to like, and it's not like some young attractive nurse that walks into the room, it's me. And I'm like, ah, dude, hey, put that away. I did that on the subway car, and the guy, like, I guess I broke his invisibility spell where he realized suddenly people were interacting with him, and he's like, and he just kind of puts it away. And he goes into the next train car, and I'm like, oh, this is what life was like in New York City, baby. You know, that was my first like week in New York. I'm not saying
I bet, do that. I bet that homeless guy, despite his situation, makes great choices.
he's got permanent post-nut clarity. He's just constantly like, buffing himself like it's a fucking RPG.
He's like, it's not that I'm homeless, it's that I won't participate in this corporate CEO system. I'm not, you know, I know better than you people.
In the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king.
And he literally has one eye. He's back in one eye.
Oh man, you gotta laugh. I do. Man, I love doing this show with you, man. We've talked about a lot of shit today.
Yeah. So
thank you, everybody. We're gonna. I don't want to close on masturbation on a subway train, but we are going to go into our.
Why? Because society doesn't want you to close on masturbation on the subway. Are you?
No, because masturbation is the opening. You understand what I'm saying? It is the start of good decision making, not the end. Look, another perfect episode, Will. How have these been perfect every time?
It's so phenomenal. Good. I amaze myself. You amaze me.
You amaze me too, bro. I'm just trying to look like you.
I'm just trying to look like you, man. I'm trying to act like you.
I'm trying to be like you. we gotta talk about. So thank you everybody for watching. Let's summarize the show for people. So I can use it for social media content to contribute to the environment in which we exist, capitalistically. We talk about three things on the show: mind, body, and community. So let's talk about this. We started off, we talked about getting, you know, sleep schedule, adapting to the choices that you make, that you have to inherently do some rough things to work into your life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those decisions are good and sometimes they're bad. I think that the listen to your body feels like we've done it before, but that's a very powerful message, even when it comes to, I guess, even when it comes to dealing with people, like the alpha male, like if you like, recognizing red flags is also part of like listening to your body, because sometimes your brain tricks you into thinking it's a good idea, but your body is like, I think that's a symptom of anxiety, is where like your body knows something's wrong and your brain is like, no, it's fine. And enough of that will like poison you in some way. So listening to your body, even when your mind is pimping out cognitive distortions, I feel like is a good thing. Like trust your gut.
I was about to say, trust your gut, and that rationalization is the second thought, because, you know, like they say, like, anger is the second emotion. Mm. Like, what are you actually angry about?
Yeah.
You know, what is the first feeling you had? So sometimes, trust that first instinct.
If it's fear, be afraid. You know, let it get you. That's it. I hate to say it, but I got it from a first episode of Lost. You ever see Lost, where this guy, he was like, you let it get you for 5 seconds and then we move on. And then I was like, oh, that feels like an interesting experiment. So if I'm sad, I'm going to be sad. If something happens and I'm angry, I'm going to be angry for 5 seconds and then I'm going to move on, because it's like, I'm not going to deny the feeling, because then you just keep, you know, bottling it down. But I'm going to be like, I'm angry. Why am I angry? This is why I'm angry. Let's move on. You know, I'm sad. Why am I sad? Again, this sure to an extreme, everything is toxic, but that's the trust your gut feels like an important thing, an important takeaway from today, especially when dealing with people who are detrimental to society, like poor, like they're making things worse. So it's like, don't contribute and you know, like engage in a healthy way to fight. But only if you're able, you know, like only if it helps, or if it, out of love.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't take Benadryl. That's enough. That's another body one. Don't take Benadryl. There's other better stuff out there. Talk to an allergist or some sort of talk to your doctor about alternatives to Benadryl. Benadryl is bad for you. And people take it like fucking candy. It's crazy. And then for the mind, I feel like it contributes. We talked about Dino Nuggies. That was the one thing I really was talking about. Don't outgrow your joy. Don't think that being an adult excludes joy, and finding healthy ways to experience joy is, let them call you childish, people, let them judge, you know, whatever it is, because your version of adulthood doesn't have to match anybody else's, as long as you're successfully thrive, you know, taking care of yourself. If your bills are paid, tell them to shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, if your bills are paid, you're living life right. And even if you're not, and if you're contributing to society in some way and you need help or whatever, you're allowed to make those decisions for yourself, as long as you're not putting your, you know, like, I guess, don't go into debt over some Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but if you can afford them, don't outgrow your joy, is what I'm saying. Don't age out of joy.
I always say, if the thing that makes you happy doesn't harm yourself or other people, keep doing it. You know,
for sure.
Enjoy, you know, listening to Taylor Swift at midnight isn't harming anybody. It, you know, it might make you sleepy in the morning, but if you're willing to make that sacrifice and it's not going to be debilitating, that's a reasonable thing to do if it's going to bring you joy. Going to a midnight showing of Star Wars or a Marvel movie or whatever it is, you know, that's fun. That's a fun adventure.
That one's a little autobiographical, because you and I have both done that. We've done that together. Oh, yeah. It is a joy. What a fun thing to do. And like, I do. Well, that does come back around to the community aspect of it. Yeah. But I want to say also, in terms of the mind, remember, your awareness of something should inform your actions about it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're aware of something, you are now responsible for it. You know, to make change, or even just to like, like stopping a bad habit is a form of change. You don't have to do anything, you know, to make progress. You just have to stop walking backwards first. You know what I mean? Like you got to stop taking steps back. In progress, standing still is progress if you've been moving back the whole time. So you know, that's a good one.
Where did I put that on a t-shirt? You got to get that on PictoQuote.com.
PictoQuote, meme generator, one of those inspirational. Am I aging myself by quoting a meme from 2010?
No, I think we should take that quote, put it over like a picture of Cillian Murphy from PE Blinders, and then maybe we could start informing the alpha males.
Put Tom Hardy there. We just start like whichever alpha male.
Wouldn't that be great guerrilla warfare if we just took all the like Peaky Blinders, you know, that alpha male stuff, and we just put like a quote of like women should have the right to control their own body or whatever it is.
Hey, you're because people always put like bullshit quotes of fate of these guys where it's like, hey, we could do that too. If your meme is the truth, so is ours.
They're
both equal. your guy not only said be a lion amongst the sheep, but also give women their rights. You know, don't harass women.
I might start doing that. That's not a bad idea.
I think we should send them to me. We'll share them together. Send them. We'll post them at zerosonheroes.com. But yeah, these are all great for the mind and body. And then for the community, one of the things you talked about, and we talked about that spotter that saved the person. We talked about spotters in real life. Take your awareness of these things. And sometimes people need to be told, and in gentle ways, you can communicate things to the people you care about the most first, right?
Yeah.
Your community, your central core of people, which should be people who are not evil. they share your viewpoints, you know, even if it's in your relationships, where like the whole concept of marriage being difficult thing, like life is difficult. Life is hard to deal with. Having a partner that is going to augment your life, as opposed to this traditional idea of, or not even traditional, this like wrong old thinking of everything is like a fucking mission. Everything is a problem. It's like, don't let that be one of your problems. You know what I mean? Like, don't force that old thinking on your current situation, because it's we've moved past it. Mm-hmm. We're not using leeches anymore. We're using anesthesia now to do surgeries. Like, don't continue to do the wrong thing just because it was the traditional way to do it.
I think also for community, I want to add in, having your community doesn't just mean the people who are currently in your community. It could also mean if somebody has a toxic idea that you reach out to them. For instance, that guy who was, I was able to convince the guy who was anti-trans and pro toxic shit that, you know, I included him in and said, you know, these are, you know, what are some aspects of your personal body and your choice that you've made that you wouldn't want anybody to take away from you. So you can expand your community to include people who had differing opinions and try to convince them to see, be more enlightened, maybe, if we could say that without being pretentious.
Right. Like to, I always say that zoom out a little bit, zoom out from your tribe, zoom out from your problems, zoom out from what your perceived problems are. Mm-hmm. Like zoom out. Remember, we live in the thin layer of air around the earth, not on it. That's like, join me in the real world for a moment. And then we can figure things. Then we can go, you know, you like a cartoon horse on your jersey. I like a cartoon dolphin on my jersey. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but zoom out first. Like, all of this is purely artificial, manufactured.
Yeah. I think zoom out and find the commonality between the two of you, or the group of you. You know, for instance, the guy who was a Confederate hat wearing dude in Europe was like, we have a common thing, which is we're both American. And it's like, hey, look at that. Maybe that guy comes home and he's like, you know,
right.
Maybe it is that we're all really just Americans,
or that it's like, oh, is American also a little category that I put myself into? You know, like that globalization of thought is interesting. Like, what is that travel? That travel is like the enemy of ignorance, or something like that. Yeah. Or, I forget the actual quote, but it's like if you want to destroy your prejudices, go travel the world, because then you realize, like, I love the term the global majority for saying non-white people, because white people, like the whole, the every map we look at is Eurocentric. Every globe we see that we look at, it's like you realize, oh, this little, the globe, there's more non-white people in the world than white people, but they, our Western culture is so hyper-focused on white culture, white existence, European colonization of the global majority. And it's like, oh, right.
Yeah,
the global majority doesn't give a fuck about, you know, the American football. They care about soccer. We have to deal with that as a nation, you know?
Yeah, one time there was I got to a thing back in the day when I used to really be big into Facebook arguments, as the somebody said something about, like, white men are responsible for the majority of terrible things in the world. And I said, what about the men in Saudi Arabia? What about the men in Africa? What about the men in China and Asia? And it's like, you know, you could just say men. I would agree with that.
Man. Yeah,
but
yeah.
To say, like, generally white speaking, men,
yeah,
is like excluding most of the world.
Zoom out, bud. We've been horrible the whole time. All of us, the whole world still has horrors.
You need to get rid of the skin and just look at the muscles of the people who are oppressing you. Look at the meat of the oppressors is what you need to do.
The
meat
of the oppressor. And if that is not the message of today's show, look at the meat of your oppressor, hashtag Louis C.K. Thank you, everybody. I want to say, what do we take with us today? All of these things that we can kind of, like, if any of this helps you, that's kind of great. I mean, I'm going to try and take some of the zoom out thinking, some of the not outgrowing my joy. And, you know, and not encouraging that in others too. When someone puts down their fun thing, it's like, don't insult your Pokemon card collection. Don't insult the things to give you. Don't insult your X-Men 97 watching. Don't insult your reconnecting with some youthful joy in your life. Don't, you know, I want to take that. That's going to be my focus.
Don't insult and don't feel embarrassed.
Yeah. There's no shame in that game. Thank you everybody for watching. You can follow me at Mike Mercadal. That's how you spell my name. At William A. Watkins on social medias. You can just search those on Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. At Zeros on Heroes for all of the historical archives of our stuff, because you can go and find them there. The ancient texts of our world. And also go out. We used to say this all the time on our show. Go out and be heroic. I think that redefining what heroic is kind of a personal thing, but it still applies. I think it still applies. If you want to go be the hero, go be heroic and follow that impulse. I miss saying it. So go out and be heroic. Hey, Will, looking good.
I'm just trying to look like you, bro.
Just trying to look like you. Thank you everybody for watching, and peace out.